Jehovah's Witness believes that he has to work for his salvation. And we believe that the Bible teaches that the salvation is a free gift. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation to us is a free gift, but these dear people that are enslaved by this thing, they believe they have to work for their salvation. And actually have to spend so many hours. They keep records of the hours that they're out. And so this is a little system that was developed by a former Jehovah's Witness. His name was Bill Centner. Now, this guy was actually involved in a watchtower. He was one of the head guys at the watchtower. And then a guy named Walter Martin, who wrote the book Kingdom of the Cults, came to the watchtower one day, and Bill was responsible to take him around and show him the tour of the watchtower. And then so Walter Martin asked Bill Centner about this one question, which we're not going to cover it tonight, but it's about the Alpha and the Omega. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. And later on it says that that God the Father is, God Almighty is the Alpha and the Omega, and you can't have two Alphas and two Omegas. And that's the context of what he spoke to Bill Centner about, and the Lord saved Bill Centner and brought him out of the watchtower, and then he became an advocate for teaching people on how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is actually his system that I'm going to try to just briefly go over with you a little bit tonight. But just a couple things initially. These are precious people. Sometimes we as Christians, we get busy and we don't take the right time to deal with them. They come onto our front porches, and we give them that Ralph Cramden stuff, like, get out, and that's honestly, that's not right, because these are precious people, and when they come to your home, you can be able to witness to them right there in your own home. And and then there's another major thing. I must confess and tell you, the majority of the things I learned in my early Christianhood, of being a Christian, was from this guy, Bill Centner, and learning how to defend myself against the watchtower. And then the Lord put a whole bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses around me. I had the guy work for me, and people were bumping into. And then so I had to learn these things, and it became a major blessing. And I learned lots of things about how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, why I believe what I believe. And to me, that's a very, very big deal. So I want to pray. We want to just take 15, 20 minutes here. I just want to go over a brief outline here with you on how to witness to these dear people. But let's just ask the Lord to guide our steps. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together here. Lord, I want to thank you so much for my precious brother, Julio, and the work that he's doing down there in Haiti. I saw all those precious children that he is involved in being an example to and a guide to. And Lord, I pray that you bless him. Watch over him, Father. And may we and our little church here be some kind of a blessing to them. And thank you, Lord, for your great mercies and how you saved us and called us to yourself. And call those dear people to yourself down there and help us to be an encouragement to him. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 is the chapter where if a man claims to be a prophet, we can examine whether he's a true prophet or a false prophet by whether his prophecies come to pass. It's a pretty simple thing. If a man claims to be a prophet, if he claims to speak for God, and his word doesn't come to pass, he's not a true prophet, he's a false prophet. So let's examine this carefully. Deuteronomy 18, verses 19. Let me see what I have here. I'll start at 19, though. It shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which speaks in my name, and I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. In other words, in the Old Testament, if a guy claimed to be a prophet and he claimed to speak for God and it did not come to pass, honestly, according to the Old Testament law, the word of God, not what people said, but the word of God, that guy was to be taken out and he was to be stoned to death. Now, there's a very important reason for this, is that God did not want false prophecies, false teachings, lies, and all this kind of stuff to be spread out all over everywhere. So he put an end to this quickly. If somebody claimed to be a prophet and the prophecy did not come to pass, he was to be executed. It was a capital crime, okay? For you to say something that the Lord said to you, and thus say the Lord, and it didn't come to pass, the guy was to be executed. So that's what it's saying right here. Verse 21. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. In other words, he has no power. He has no authority. And we have that this kind of stuff going on all over the place here in the United States. Of course, by our laws, we're not allowed to take these guys out and stone them. However, the important thing, what I'm trying to communicate to you tonight, is the Watchtower claims to be a prophet, okay? That's really this little track that I want you to run on here for the next few minutes. As we read this first one, now I have the originals here, but I have a suit, a little briefcase full of all the books that are in these quotes right here. I actually have the originals here. Here's an original Awake. By the way, whenever you see these Awakes and Watchtowers out in society, on laundromats and wherever you see them, always pick them up and get rid of them. Okay. Seriously, they're poison. They are spiritual poison to people. It's just not another tract by somebody else in some other outfit. This stuff is very deadly and dangerous. People die, sincerely, we're going to look at this in a couple of minutes. People die and go to hell, a real hell, because of these kind of teachings. Okay, they tell people that Jesus is not God. They believe, just a few brief overviews of what the things the Watchtower people believe. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave bodily. They believe his body went off into Galilee. They believe that Jesus came back to the earth invisibly in 1914. They believe that in the resurrection of the grave of the dead took place in 1918. There's a major host of false doctrines and teachings that these dear people believe. So whenever you see these things out in society, always pick them up. And discreetly, maybe take it with you, but when you get it home, throw it away. Don't, maybe if it's in the laundromat, don't tear it up and throw it right there, because the person actually may have been right there, and you're being offensive to them,
right?
You know, and it's going to start a big battle or something like that, unless you're prepared for the battle, you know. I'm okay with that, but but I mean, what I'm saying, just take it with you and get rid of this stuff, okay? Yeah, really, get rid of these things. They're poison. Okay. Now, this quote that I'm going to read you, number one, is in this Watchtower in 1972. And by the way, every Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall has a library full of these, so they can go check these. It's not like they're oblivious to something. They know where they can find these, and they can actually go back in history in their libraries and pick these up. So let me read this first one here for you. So does Jehovah have a prophet to help them, to warn them of dangers and declare things to come? These questions can be answered in the affirmative. Who is this prophet? This prophet is not one man, but was a body of men and women, was a small group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ, known at that time as International Bible Students. That was their original name. Today they're known as Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. Of course, it's easy to say that this group acts as a prophet of God. It is another thing to prove it. The only way that this can be done is to review the record. What does it show? Now, I ask people, when I sit down with a Jehovah's Witness, I ask them, is this true, that the Watchtower claims to be a prophet? And they'll actually answer yes. And then, so, does the Watchtower claim to speak for God? And they'll actually answer and say yes. Okay? Then my goal is to then, the first three here are statements that they claim to be prophets. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip two and three. Okay, we're going to go into a few of their false prophecies and show that they have continued over the years consistently making statements that saying that they are a prophet for God, and they've been producing false prophecies. And then so we want to take them back to the Bible and say to them, is the Watchtower a false prophet? That's the game here. That's what this track is really all about. To be able to ask the Jehovah's Witness, does the Watchtower claim to be a prophet? And they're actually going to say yes. Okay? Then you ask them, does the Watchtower make false prophecies? That we're going to see right here. Number four on your punchline here. In 1889, they said, the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14, which will end in 1914 with a complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership, has already commenced. That was from their book called Time is at Hand, published in 1910. So the question then is did the Lord's kingdom come, and was it set up, and everything ended in 1914? And you just simply ask the Watchtower person, did it happen? And they're going to say, no, it did not. So the truth is the world didn't come to an end in 1914. You know, that's 99 years ago. It's 2013 now. It's 99 years ago. So it did not happen. It honestly did not happen. So I asked the Jehovah's Witness person, does the Watchtower claim to be a prophet? Yes. Did they produce false prophecies? Yes. Deuteronomy 18 says, should they be taken out and stoned to death under Bible times in the Old Testament? The answer is yes. Then here's the deal. Here's what you're trying to do, is drive a wedge between the Jehovah's Witness and the Watchtower person. You ask them this question, should you be following a false prophet? Okay? That's where you want to try to go with this conversation. You want to say, should you be following a false prophet? Because a false prophet, Jesus said, will kill you. Now let's take a look at what the Lord Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15. Matthew 7:15. The Lord Jesus himself speaking, saying this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. A wolf will kill you. Seriously, if you're out in the wilderness, like if you're a hunter, okay, and you're by yourself, and a pack of wolves comes and surrounds you, you're in a lot of trouble. I mean, even if you have your gun, you know, you get 6 or 8 or 10 wolves, okay, and they surround you and start pacing at you, you are in real, real serious trouble, okay? A ravenous wolf will kill you. All right, and that's what these people are, the Watchtower leaders. They really are. I'm not going to have time tonight to go through this, but on the back of this sheet here, they have changed the Bible. There's a number of places on the back here. For time tonight, we're not going to be able to go over this, but they have actually altered the forever settled in heaven word of God. They've actually changed the Bible. And you know what I'm going to do here? This is a copy of the Watchtower Bible, okay? And they wrote their own Bible. In the Old Testament, where God spoke to Moses, when God spoke to Moses, he said to him, he told him to go into the land of Egypt and bring the people out. He said, and Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God says to him, you shall say, I am. Okay, I am has sent me unto you, okay? In the New Testament, in John 8:58, Jesus is standing before the Jews, and he says to him, before Abraham was, I am. You're familiar with that verse, those verses? Okay. In the Watchtower Bible, what I have here right in front of you, it's circled, and I have rubber bands around them so you can jump from the one point to the other point real fast. Okay, I'm going to pass this around. In the Old Testament, they have the word I am changed to I shall prove to be what I shall prove to be. In the Old Testament, they took the word I am out, and they inserted the words I shall prove to be what I shall prove to be in the Old Testament. All right. In the New Testament, where Jesus is standing before the Jews, and he says to them, before Abraham was, I am, they have that changed to be I have been. Okay? So, what will happen here is, in a million years, you'll never put together I have been in the New Testament with I shall prove to be what I shall prove to be in the Old Testament. You would never make the connection there. But Jesus is trying to make a clear connection that he is the Messiah. He was the one that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. That's what the Lord is actually trying to state. Okay, but these individuals, they intentionally altered the Word of God, which I'm going to pass this around. And you can see it. You can flip back and forth between it and just pass it right through the congregation as far as we can go tonight. These are deadly individuals spiritually to a man's soul. because there's only one way that you can ever be saved. Honestly, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay? There's two things that are essential to Christians to salvation as far as what I understand. There are two major things. Number one, you have to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. Number two, you have to believe that God rose, that Jesus died on the cross and that God rose him from the grave bodily. Okay? Now, many people, if you say to a Jehovah's Witness, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? They're going to say yes. Okay? They'll actually say yes. But them raising from the dead, their raising from the dead, and our raising from the dead are two completely different things. They believe that his body went off into gases. We believe that the body actually came out of the grave. Because of, again, time constraints tonight, I'm not going to have time to show you all this. But the Bible teaches that Jesus, when he came up out of the grave, had holes in his hands, and he had a hole in his side, because he said to Thomas, Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he saw the hole in his hands and saw the hole in his side. That's what Thomas said. And then Jesus, when he appeared, by the way, that took place on a Sunday night. You always remember that, okay? That important context there, that important meeting with Jesus and Thomas, where Thomas was doubting, okay, that actually took place on a Sunday night. So lots of really good things happen on a Sunday night, okay? Okay?
First Sunday night service.
There you go. There you go.
Thomas missed, he wasn't there.
That's right, that's right. So, but then when he was there, he was when he came the next time, the truth is the Lord showed him his hands, and he showed him a hole in his side. I actually have a picture on my iPhone. It's my front page of on my phone of the hand of Jesus with a hole in it. Okay, and he's like as he's holding up his hand, you can see light through it, and I know that's true because the Bible actually says that's there. Okay, I got that from that movie, The Bible, as it was being shown a few weeks ago. I had one of my guys that works for me, it's real good with computers, and he actually got a hold of that part of the movie and edited it out. He got a picture of the hand, zoomed in on it, and then put it on my iPhone. And then so every time I turn my phone on, actually I have the hand of Jesus there with that hole in it. Because that is, by the way, that's one of the few man-made things that will ever be in heaven, would be the print of the nails in his hands that I'm going to see. That hand had that nail in it, that my precious Savior died on the cross for me. And all eternity, we're going to see the hand of Jesus with that hole in it. Okay, wherever he is in heaven, you'll be able to see the hand of the Lord with that hole in it, that he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Okay, then it's going to be there forever and ever. Okay, but be that as it may, the Watchtower people teach that his body went off into gases. They teach that Jesus, you will never see the Lord, according to them. There are only 144,000 get to go to heaven. A lot of it's really off the wall, but against true fundamental Christian orthodoxy. But what we need to do is be able to love these dear people and try to take some of these statements that are on the back here. And if the Lord is dealing with them, hopefully their hearts will be open, and then the Lord will, and gently and kindly, we want to be able to communicate to them that these things are honestly so, so untrue. On the back of this, just up here on the top for a moment, is the word where they insert the word A into the text of John 1:1. John 1:1 in the true Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? That's what the Scriptures teach. Okay? They don't believe that. They believe that Jesus was not God. So to get around that verse, they insert the word A into it, which creates a whole bunch of other problems. Okay? If he is a God, that means there is what? There's more than one God. Okay? And then so now we have a problem. I want you to go to the verse that I want you to go to Isaiah 43:10 in the Old Testament. Isaiah 43:10 is one of my all-time favorite verses. I love this verse because it solves so many problems. It solves the problems with the Watchtower, and also solves problems with the Mormons. Every Mormon believes he's going to become a god someday. Honestly, Mitt Romney, running for president, he really believes he's going to become a god. I'm surprised that didn't come out during the election. Okay, every Mormon missionary honestly believes he's going to become a god. He's going to get a planet somewhere. He's going to populate it with a whole bunch of girls. Okay, honestly, that's the truth. They actually believe that. And then, but nobody's ever going to become a god. There's no such thing as this, because God tells us what's going to happen. You know, Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no god formed, neither shall there be after me. Okay? There are no gods. There are no other gods. There never has been another god. There never will be another god. There only ever has been one god. And that god chose to manifest himself in the form of a human being, okay, come to this earth and bear our sins in his own body on the cross that we might be saved. Okay, that's what the nutshell, Christianity is in a nutshell, is that's what the Lord Jesus really has done for us. You know, I'd like you to read this verse over again. Let me just show you something here that's also kind of really interesting. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know. God wants us to know this. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things are known unto God, but there's things that are revealed unto us. Okay? There are certain things that God does not want us to know. Honestly, he does. There's a host of things he doesn't want us to know. The day you're going to die, that kind of, he doesn't want you to know all that stuff. You know, if you knew when you're going to die, you'd worry about it all your life. That's all you do. I've got 12 years left. I've got 8 years left. Yeah, really. He doesn't want you to know those things, so he doesn't tell you, okay? There's lots of things he doesn't want you to know, but this is something he does want you to know here. Okay, now look at this carefully. He wants you to know this. You're my servant whom I have chosen that you may know. He wants you to know this. He wants you to believe this. And down home here, he wants you to understand this. He wants you to know this, believe this, and understand this. That before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So that's something, it's set in concrete in the Bible. Okay, he wants you to know, believe, and understand that before him there was never any God formed. So, and there never will be after him. So the question I have for you then, who is Jesus according to John 1:1? He has to be. He has to be by logical, reasonable thinking. Okay? Jesus is God. He was God in the flesh. But see what these guys did is they forever altered the Word of God to the Watchtower followers. Now I met a precious woman. I put an alarm system in her home and she was a witness. I tried to explain some of these things to her. She was just off the wall crazy about the Watchtower Bible. That's the greatest translation ever. I couldn't talk to her. She wouldn't hear me. It just was a conversation that went nowhere. But I think about her. Okay, I often do. I don't know what to say to her, you know, but she's brainwashed. She really is that the Watchtower Bible is the most fantastic Bible going. But they altered the Word of God. And this is Greek on the left side. And this is the English translation on the right side. This is called, this is what is called is an interlinear. Now this is their interlinear. Now Pastor Tom has a number of interlinears in his study. Okay? An interlinear is the Greek on the one side of the page, and then or the Hebrew, okay, and then the English translation on it. It gives a word by word or syllable by syllable breakdown of a word so that we can know and understand these words and how to communicate them properly when we're trying to talk to people about the Lord. But what is so terrible about this, and then you have this photocopy here, is that if you see on the left side, I have it underlined here, and God was the Word up here in the left-hand corner. You see that? See what it says, and God was the Word? And see how they insert the word A into the right, on the right text? See, there's no A there. They just insert it. They just make it up. They just pop it right in. You everybody see that? Yeah. Does anybody not see that or not understand that? I want to make sure that you got this point here. On the left side, underneath where it's underlined here, and God was the Word, and that's in their Greek interlinear. On the right side of the page, they have the word A inserted there, and he was a God. You see that? Okay. The worst thing that a man could ever do is alter God's word and add to it. In the book of Revelation, it says if you've added to it, okay, the plagues are going to be added to it. If you take away from the word of God, your name's going to be taken out of the book of life. There are these guys that did this, this was done actually in the 50s. This is worse, the worst crime you could ever commit. I mean, the worst, to alter God's word so that other people coming behind you would not know the truth. Just like that precious woman that I was trying to communicate with. Okay, that's the worst crime you could ever commit. That's worse than shooting a president. Okay, that's terrible. Okay, I mean, that's terrible. The worst crime you could ever commit would be to alter God's forever settled in heaven word so that this guy and this guy and this guy and that guy and this guy would not know the truth. So they would be taken off the path of salvation and run into the ditch. This, truthfully, and I say this with great gravity, this is demonic material. Seriously, this is demonic material. With great gravity, I'm saying that. Okay? Because it takes a man off the path of true salvation and runs him into the ditch, and he will never know who Jesus is, and you can't be saved. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what? You shall be saved. Okay? That's the key and the core of Christianity, that we have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay? The Lord, L-O-R-D. He's Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay? He is Lord. Okay? He's not just a prophet. He's not just some teacher. He's our creator. He is Lord. He's Lord God of this universe. It's sad. It's really sad. In a month from now, I'm going to teach again, and I'll have a little bit more time then. We're going to go over some more of these things and some of these other doctrines. And doctrine is so important. I need to finish up with this. I really do. Go to 1 Timothy. I'm just going to have you jump through here. I want to show you something that is one of the blessings that we have in this little church is that we're taught the Word of God, and we're taught the Word of God properly. Teaching, if you go to a lot of churches today, it's music, and those things are fine. And but there's very little. There's 80% spent time on music and feel good stuff, and very very little time spent on teaching the Word of God. Okay, but let's take a look here at 1 Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy here. Okay, I want to show you something here of the word 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, is the word doctrine is here. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Okay? And if you instruct the brethren in these things, be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith, and of good doctrine. Okay? We're to be taught doctrine. It's all through the Bible here. In 1 Timothy 6, 1, it says, let there be bondservants as they're under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of honor, and so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Jump back up to 5:17. Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. The Bible says that the book of Timothy was actually given to us that we might learn how to live and how to act in the house of God. Okay? That's what it actually says it was given to us for. And doctrine is so important to know what you believe, why you believe it. And that's why we need to be here in this house when the house of God is open in this building here. Amen. To hear the word of God taught Sunday morning in Sunday school. We learn a lot, okay? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is the place where to be. Honestly, not at the ballpark. I like baseball. I'll go once in a while. But come to church when you should, honestly. Go to the ballpark Thursday night, okay? Don't skip the house of God. Amen. You go to those things. It's not legalistic to do this. I'm just saying from your heart, to learn the Word of God, to learn the things that are right, to be taught and then to love the brother and be kind to one another. And we need each other so bad. We need each other so, so bad. Okay? We're going to pray for our brother. We're going to close the message. Pray for our precious brother Julio with his message down there in Haiti. Maybe we'll send some stuff down there for him with respect to these Watchtower teachings. You know, and I don't want to learn Creole. All right. we'll interpret the track. There you go. but what a precious work he's doing down there, and how fortunate we are to have godly brothers and sisters in Jesus come to be with us. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you now for your word, which truthfully is forever settled in heaven. Help us to love your word, depend on your word, seek and hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, help us to realize how fortunate we are that you bypassed us from the watchtower. Lord, you saved us and called us unto yourself. Lord, you drew us and gave us the word of God and pastors to teach us the scriptures. And then, Lord, help us to grow. Help us to read the Word of God. Hear godly messages on our CDs or iPods or computers and that kind of stuff. Help us to go to good sites, sermonaudio.com and these other things that are a blessing, Lord, and put you first in our lives and help us to separate ourselves from the world and love the things of Jesus. Learn here how to witness Jehovah's Witnesses. And then, Lord, that we might communicate these truths to others and grow in the things of Jesus. Because that's one of the things that will happen, Father. When we learn your word, we're actually going to grow and we can communicate these things better to others. Thank you, Lord, for this precious time here tonight. Help us to do what is right. In Jesus' dear name we pray, Lord. Amen.